That is, if I mess up on a song, then I have to do another one to replace it. Shaggy can't be here. I almost just died bringing Buju Banta. You think Shaggy ain't coming here? Lord, I said I was 21. I am almost 51. So them day, them Shaggy. Oh, Lord Jesus. And so, amen. Now, maybe I'll save the other one for tomorrow, because I'm telling you, I'm out of energy. Hold on, let me drink some more water. Is that my water? I think I brought that one up. Did I bring that one up? Never mind, I got a new one. It's okay.
That's the one I was drinking, wasn't it? She wouldn't lie to me. She's my baby.
But I've got a new one, and so let's just... Sis, you have an iPhone, yes? Can I airdrop you a picture for the sermon? Would you turn on your airdrop real quick? Overhead? Oh, I can send it right to him. What's the code? Shaggy. Put your airdrop on, let me see, just in case. Shaggy, oh my goodness. Okay. Did it send you a code as well? This is something new that 2657 17. Amen. Praise God. Can you give that picture to my brother back there? Amen. Thank you. Glory to God. And so let's get to the wonderful word of God tonight. Genesis chapter 50. And so I owe you a song. So who knows? Tomorrow we might do 4 or 5. We'll see. But as for tonight, I'm going to save the rest of the air I have so I can preach. I want to preach a sermon tonight entitled, What Are You Carrying? What are you carrying? The Bible says, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about this present outcome, that many people would be kept alive as of this day. What are you carrying tonight? I'm going to send you one more, sis, if you'll. I have a friend. When I go on the road, I'm gone for 2 weeks. You got to open your phone. Don't go too far away. You got to come back up, kind of come back up here. Because the overhead's not working. I tried sending it, but since it already went to you. Is it not? See, I wouldn't do this anywhere else, but you guys are family. So family, we can do this kind of. Anywhere else, I'd have just faked it, you know, but. Valerie, who's Valerie? You're Valerie? Amen. I won't just send, you know, random pictures to people I don't know, but I know Valerie, so. That's the last one, sis. Yes, thank you. Amen. It'll make sense in the end. When I'm on the road, I'm usually gone for a while. I've got so many very close friends in the Killeen Church. One of my closest friends is a brother named Brad. I call him Big Brother Brad. He's kind of like a big brother to me. I came home from one of my trips, and I was just talking to Brad, and we're having a conversation, and as we're having a conversation, he began to share with me his testimony of growing up in California. He said, where I grew up in California, the way that the kids would welcome you to the neighborhood is they would jump you or they would beat you up. He said, one day I went to the grocery store, and as I was there, my parents sent me to the store. Number of kids gathered around me, and he said they began to beat me up. He was a little boy, maybe 9, 10 years old. He said they began to beat on me and kick me and all kinds of things. After they were done, he's walking home. He's covered in blood. He's hurting. He said when he got home, he knocked on the door and no one opened the door. It was a moment when he desperately needed the love and the comfort of a parent. It was a moment when he could have used, you know, support and just the arms of a mother or father that speaks of love and safety. He said, I was knocking on the door and no one answered. He said, I found out. The reason they didn't answer the door is they were inside shooting heroin. And he made a statement that triggered this sermon. He said, Patrick, I carried that for most of my life. That moment of rejection, that moment of disappointment, that moment when as a child I desperately needed them and they were not there. He said, I carried that for most of my life. I got a question for you tonight. What do you carry? What violation? What assault? What disappointment are you carrying tonight that could be weighing you down? As I'm talking to Brad, there was another sister, Sister Dina. She said, let me tell you my story. She said, me and my twin sister, we watched our father beat our mother on a regular basis. She said, watching that abuse, she said, my sister and I, we made a decision. No man was ever going to put their hands on us. She said, what that created was this anger and this violence and this hair trigger to where the slightest thing, her and her sister were ready to fight. She said, we'd go to school and get in all kinds of fights. All someone had to do was look at us, and we were ready to fight. In fact, she said, let me tell you what just happened. She said, my twin sister was driving down the road, and someone cut her off in traffic. They start to argue. She gets out of the car. She jumps, it's an older man, she jumps on this old man and began to beat him over the head with her cell phone. This is a grandmother. This is an older, a grandmother. She begins to beat this man. He's covered in blood, and it's like she gets a revelation of what she's doing. She gets up. She tried to run. 10 state troopers surround her car. And they drag this grandmother off to jail. She could be facing prison for assault with a deadly weapon. Not because somebody cut her off in traffic, but because of something she had been carrying since she was a little girl. What are you carrying? What are you carrying that at the worst possible moment, Satan, in his devious, wicked, evil way, can flip a switch and destroy your destiny, if not your life? What pain? What failure? What rejection? What are you carrying? Listen, I've known a lot of people in life that made horrific decisions. And if you talk to them, they would possibly say, well, it's this person, or is it, but the truth. No. The problem is something inside of you. I'll never forget my uncle. He got very mad at a computer. We've all gotten mad at a computer. He pulled out a 45 Magnum and shot it. That's extreme. He wasn't mad at the computer. He was mad at his wife who'd committed adultery. Listen, you can be carrying that'll just, at the word, the devil will trigger it. Family members who have got, I've known people. I know somebody. They get a miracle job. They're one of these people that have like 29 W-2s every year. The reason they have so many is because they keep losing a job. The problem, on every job, there's somebody there that hates them. So wait a minute, you're telling me you can go from Dallas to Colorado Springs and still find the same devil? Could it be? Could it be? It's not ever. Could it be there's something? Could it be that you look for devils everywhere you go? Because there's something in you. I ask you again. What are you carrying? You can be in the kingdom of God. Do you know tonight that if you're in the kingdom of God, you're at the place where he says, cast your burdens onto me because I care. Do you know you can be here tonight and God could be trying to help you, but you can't get help because of what you're carrying? What do you mean, preacher? Thank you for asking. I'll explain it to you. You should have seen some of your faces when I put this thing on my back. I mean, Elvis was here. Elvis, the king came. And there's some of you couldn't even see Elvis because you're like, no, why do you have a bag on your back? I mean, did y'all see me struggling? I even changed. I did all that. Almost passed out. And there's some of you, you were so distracted by what I was carrying. You're like, Pastor, I don't care about them songs. Take that thing off your back. You look crazy. Even right now while I'm preaching, you're still like, I know. Take it off. Here's the thing. You know why I put this on? If you can be sitting in church and be distracted by what I'm carrying, could you be sitting in church and struggle to hear God's voice and God's word because of what you're carrying? There are people in God's house where miracles and deliverance can take place, but they are not receiving what Jesus died and paid because they are distracted by what they're carrying. Think of the text that we have tonight. I'm going to take this thing off before it completely wears me. Think of the text tonight. In our text, we have quite possibly history's most decorated family. Easily the most decorated. I mean, from this family was going to come some of the greatest kings and the greatest warriors and wise men and prophets and people that we still listen to and follow. We're still gaining wisdom from this family. And yet, as much as they were a family of destiny, they were absolutely one of the most dysfunctional families ever in the history of the world. You know what that says tonight? Your dysfunction doesn't have to decide your destiny. The dysfunction you started in doesn't have to decide the destiny you end up with. I'm going to say that again. Just because you began in dysfunction doesn't mean you have to end in destruction. You can start in great dysfunction and yet end in supernatural destiny. Think about this with me. The question In our text is the story of Joseph. We're going to look at Joseph's story. I love preaching on Joseph. One of the great stories in the Bible to preach on. But if you would be honest with me tonight, the question we have to ponder, how in the world did Joseph survive all that was going to happen to him? Because if we would be honest, we would not have survived. Ain't no way. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. How did this, what Joseph should have been carrying, how did it not destroy him? In order to understand all that Joseph was carrying, we got to go all the way back to the beginning, where it all started. Because what Joseph was carrying began with Abraham and Sarah. The Bible tells us, beloved, that God came to Sarah. This is where it all going to begin. God comes to Sarah and Abraham and says, I'm going to give you a baby boy. The first thing we know is that Sarah laughed at that because in her mind, God, you took too long to carry this out. The time has passed. I ain't having no baby. Listen, don't say that stuff is impossible for God. You know what I'm saying? Don't just, because he said, is anything impossible for me? So you know the story. She was in the tent and she laughed. The Bible says they began to wait. But in their opinion, God was taking too long. Be careful as a child of God when you're waiting on the promise and it seems that God is taking too long. Listen to me. The living God has never been late in the history of the universe. He's never been late. The problem is we don't like to wait. God's not late. I hear people, Pastor, I'm just waiting on God. You ain't waiting on God. How are you waiting on somebody that's been there where you're trying to get to since the beginning of time? God is waiting on you. And so Sarah's like, listen, I'm tired of waiting. I know what to do. Right there is where you're going to get yourself in major trouble. God, you taking too long, so I'm going to do, God, what you were supposed to do. Listen, don't ever try to play God. We are very bad at it. Especially when you try to play God with your own life. And so what does she do? She said, I know what to do. She goes to Abraham, said, Abraham, I got a great idea. Abraham said, what's your idea, baby? She said, you know my little slave girl, Hagar? Yeah. Marry her and give me a son through her. And Abraham went, for real? That was a good opportunity for Abraham to go, you done lost your mind, Sarah. That is a very bad, but that's not what he did. He's like, okay. You know the story. Hagar gets pregnant. And she has a son named Ishmael. And for a little while, Sarah's happy. Ishmael, you know, she's treating Ishmael like he's her son and all that. But the Bible says one day Sarah woke up and she didn't feel so good. She starts craving stuff like, you know, pickles with honey on it. You brothers don't know what I'm talking about. Ladies, y'all know what I'm talking about. 2 o'clock in the morning, I need some ice cream. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. I know, Abraham, go get me some ice cream. We don't even have ice cream. It ain't been invented yet. I know, but go get me some. 9 months later, Isaac is born. And the Bible says Sarah's like, Ishmael ain't getting nothing. Isaac is getting everything. Kick him out. Now listen, for at least 10 to 12 years, all Abraham had to pour out all his love on was Ishmael. He would have loved Ishmael. That's his firstborn son. Now Isaac is born, and Abraham is having to choose between his two boys. You know the story. He kicks Ishmael out, kicks Hagar out, and Isaac becomes. You would think Isaac, having lived through that, would have known better. Listen, in no family will things ever work out well when one child is favored over the other. You would think Isaac, having grown up in that and having watched no doubt what Abraham would have went through, because Abraham would have loved Ishmael, to have watched his brother be cast, Isaac should have known better. But we read these words, Genesis 25, 27. When the boys grew up, Esau was a cunning and a skilled hunter, a man of the outdoors. But Jacob was a plain and quiet mama's boy, a plain and quiet man, dwelling in the tents. Listen to these words. And Isaac loved Esau because he ate Esau's game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. So here's this family where the father loves one kid and the mother loves another. Do you know the kind of dysfunction? You would think if Isaac should have known better, then Jacob should have really known better. But you know the story of Jacob. And we're getting to the text. If Isaac should have known better, come on. Jacob was the one who had to live with his father's disdain and scorn. Jacob should have known better. But you know the story. The Bible says because of what Jacob did to Esau, ripping Esau off, he had to run for his life. He runs for his life, and he ends up with his uncle Laban, who is a crook just like him. Two crooks together is not going to turn out well. He's living with Laban, and the Bible says one day, that brother went to the well, and he went there to get some water. I don't know what he went there to get, but he was at the well. And as he's at the well, the Bible says Rachel came to the well, and Jacob started speaking in tongues. Shalala, mama, mama wrote a Honda to Rwanda. Ah! He goes to her daddy. Uncle Laban, I've got to have Rachel. What must I do? And old crooked Laban said, oh, man, ain't nothing. You got to work for me for 7 years. And the Bible said Jacob did it. She must have been glorious. Because 7 years is seven. Is it? And it was like one day. Come on, bruh. And so 7 years go by. And he finds, oh my gosh. Now, I read the Bible. My imagination might be a little bit more vivid than most people. That's, I can see Jacob out in the field. And he out there working. I don't know, he cutting grass or something. And the clock went bing, bing, bing. And Jacob, 7 years is over. I'm going to go get my woman. He goes, Laban! Comes running home. Laban, that's 7 years, baby. I want my wife. They have a big old, read it. They have a big old celebration. And they were probably drinking a little bit too much jungle juice. Bible time. Now, you got to remember, in Bible time, they don't have these kind of lights. In fact, when the sun go down, all you have is a candle. I don't even know if they had torches. And once the torch goes out, you can't even see yourself. The Bible says Jacob takes his bride. They go into the wedding tent. They spend their wedding night together. And Jacob's like, oh, my God. Rachel, I love you. And she's like, I'm not Rachel. He's like, okay, man, I drank way too much last night. Oh, because that did not sound like Rachel. Oh, my God. Rachel? No, it's Leah. That brother would have got a Laban, you dirty dog. Laban, I worked 7 years for my Rachel, and you're going to put this ugly, you're going to put this girl. Uncle Laban said, listen, man, in our culture, you got to marry the older one first. He said, I don't want her. Too bad you got her now, Joker. Because once you said I do, you did. He said, but what can I do? He said, just give me another 7 years. He works enough. The problem is that entire time, Leah is having child after child. And Jacob could care less because he never loved her. So he never loved her children. The Bible says Rachel's going to do the same foolishness that Sarah did. I know what to do. We already established that was a bad idea in the beginning. I know what to do. I'm going to give you my maid. Have children for me through her. She started having a bunch of kids, and Jacob could care less because he didn't love her. He only loved Rachel. 10 different sons are born, and Jacob could have cared less. Read the Bible. It wasn't until Joseph was born that Jacob started acting like he had a child. How do you think those 10 other boys felt? In fact, the moment Joseph was born, Jacob started showering Joseph with gifts. The Bible says Jacob was going to buy Joseph that coat of many colors. In Bible times, colors cost a fortune. For Joseph to have gotten a coat of many colors was Jacob's way of saying, "This is my firstborn son. This is the one who I want to inherit." And those other 10 boys are like, "This is not right. You don't even show us any affection." And the Bible says one day, Joseph goes out to the field to visit his brothers. And all that frustration and all that bitterness and all that resentment and all that rejection that those boys were feeling, they were going to pour all of it on Joseph. One of the worst things about some of the baggage we're carrying, it had nothing to do with us. It was someone else's pain, someone else's rejection, someone else's problem. But we just happened to be there. And because they couldn't take it out on them, they took it out on us. And it creates this baggage, this burden. Think of the story. Joseph goes out there, and they said, "You know what, we're going to kill him. We're going to kill Joseph because we want to kill our father, but we can't kill our father, so we're going to take it out on Joseph." Listen, don't take out on innocent people what someone else did to you. That's not right. Let me say it again. Don't take out on your wife, on your husband, on your church, on your friends, what someone else did. Joseph, they grab him, they no doubt abuse him, and they threw him in a pit. They were so full of bitterness and vile. They throw him in a pit. The Bible says he's crying out to them. They are the ones who are going to say, "Didn't we hear the anguish of our brother?" He's crying out from the pit, and they're over here eating. And we read these incredible words. Fascinating. Incredible words. The Bible says, Genesis 37, "Come, let us, instead of killing him, sell him to these Ishmaelites and Midianites and not lay our hands on him, because he is our brother in our flesh." So his brothers listened to him and agreed. Then the Midianite and the Ishmaelite traders were passing by. The brothers pulled Joseph out of the pit and they sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph as a captive to Egypt. Did you guys see that? You know, Satan has a very small playbook. And he doesn't need a bigger one because the little one works. Okay, let me show you what I'm trying to say. This all started with an Egyptian slave who had a son named Ishmael. Are you with me? Joseph is going to be sold to the Ishmaelites and taken as a slave to Egypt. We live in a round world. Your sin may not come back and harm you, but your sin could, it could take some years, but that thing could come back around. Now Joseph was going to suffer because of what Abraham and Sarah did. He's taken to Egypt. And he sold to Potiphar. And the Bible says Joseph is still doing good. The Bible says, and God was with him. You know why? Because even in the midst of this, Joseph had not lost his heart for God. And so the brother's there. He's like, you know what, man? I'm a slave in Egypt now. I'm going to try to do the best I can. He's there working one day. And as he's working, oh, nasty Potiphar's wife, like, ooh, Joseph, you so hands. I almost said pretty. Oh, Joseph, you so. And he like, lady, what's wrong with you? Crazy. Go on somewhere. He's like, you know what? Let me go wash these dishes. He's in the kitchen washing. And she's like, ooh, Joseph, I just love the way the bubbles on your hand. He's like, hey! What is wrong with it? The lady, nasty self. He runs out and says, you know what? You know what I'm going to do? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go fold the clothes that just came. He folding the clothes. And she come in and, ooh, Joseph, you know I love it. Just like, you know what, lady? Ah! And he runs. She grabs his garment, rips it off, and then lies. Can I share something with you? Real quick. Do you know sometimes no is not enough? You know how many times Joseph told her no? Listen, sometimes if you're going to save yourself, you got to go beyond saying no. You got to run for your life. You know the story? She rips off his garment and lies on him. And he ends up in prison. And the Bible says he still didn't lose his heart. How is that possible? Because by this time, I'm killing everybody. I need y'all to be real. Can I get a couple? I know we all Christians in here. No, Pastor. Halo. Let's be real for a minute. First of all, when my brothers threw me in that pit, I'm plotting all kind of foolishness. Then you're going to take me out of the pit and sell me to this mystery. As they're taking me away, I'll be back. Then sister girl going to lie on you. You're like, I was God. By this time, bitterness and unforgiveness would have been my breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Not Joseph. It's incredible. He gets thrown into prison. And the Bible says it was while he was in the prison, God began to turn the page. Because listen to me tonight. Tell you something about the God we serve. If you're here tonight, you are not right with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll be honest. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how sinners do it. How would you live without God? Because we serve the God that can take what the devil meant for evil and turn it around. What do you mean, Pastor? Okay, look at it. Let me show you. Now, don't get me wrong. It was not the living God that made Joseph and Jacob and Isaac. It wasn't God that made them do all that foolishness. It was the wickedness of man. But we serve the God that can take what men and the devil meant for evil and turn around. Watch this right here. Isn't it fascinating? It just so happened that the day that Jacob sent Joseph to visit his brothers was the same day the Ishmaelite traders were passing by that area. It just so happened that that's the day his brothers decided to start really tripping and, you know, doing bad things. It just so happened they were right where the Ishmaelite traders were coming through. It just so happened that when Joseph was sold to them and they took him down to Egypt, it just so happened of all the people Joseph could get sold to, he got sold to Potiphar. Why is that important? Because when Potiphar's wife lied on him, Joseph didn't go to a regular prison. He went to the king's prison, the palace, where the cupbearer and the baker just happened to be. And it just so happened that they had dreams and nobody could interpret it. And Joseph interpreted it. And it just so, at some point you start being like, wait a minute. Too many coincidences. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Can you see God this entire time going, oh, devil, okay, you're going to do that, devil? I'll do this. Oh, what should have been Joseph's prison was actually God putting Joseph in position for the promise. I like that. I'm going to drink a little water. Come on. See, I don't want y'all to miss an opportunity to give me a good amen, because that was an opportunity, right? Hold on. Let me. How was I standing? Which foot was, I think this foot was forward. Satan was quite possibly convinced the promise was dead. Especially when that brother went to prison. But God was like, no, Satan, you fool. Watch what I'm going to do. And what should have been a prison became God putting Joseph. Listen to me tonight. The devil and the things that you've gone through might be trying to put you in prison, but if you keep your heart right, God can turn the page. The question, do you know why God was able to turn the page? Because we know the story. He is going to be in the prison on one day, and the next day he's going to be in the palace. How? A couple things and we'll close. One, Joseph did not allow what was done to his body to destroy his heart. That's where we all fall short sometimes, is we allow the wickedness that men have done to our bodies to hurt our hearts. You know, that's a choice. You can choose. You say, listen, you meant to you were trying to do wicked. I refuse to allow what you did to me on the outside to mar me, to scar me on the inside. Secondly, he did not allow bitterness to become a burden. One of the heaviest burdens you will ever carry is bitterness and unforgiveness. It will weigh you down. One man said it this way. Bitterness is burning the bridge that you may one day have to cross to victory. Bitterness and unforgiveness, beloved, is drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. Joseph never allowed, if he would have allowed bitterness and unforgiveness to enter his heart, we don't have this story. I wonder how many stories we don't have. Because people did not give God the opportunity to turn the page because they allowed bitterness and unforgiveness to rob them of what God could have done. Rob them of what God would have done. And lastly, Joseph never became a victim. Because if you allow yourself to become a victim, you rob yourself of ever having victory. What is a victim? A victim is when you begin to blame other people for where you are. Think about it. If anybody in the Bible could have blamed some folks, it'd have been this brother. I mean, he could have played the Abraham, it was your fault. Sarah, you old faithless joker, it was your fault. Isaac, you should have known better, granddad. Jacob. Ishmael and Esau, and he could have blamed my 10 wicked brothers. He could have blamed all of, but he never did. You know what he said? He said, you meant it for evil, but God, listen to me tonight. When you become a victim, you rob yourself of being able to see what God can do because you are so focused on what people have done. That's victimhood. You are so locked in on what man has done, you lose the ability to see what God can do. Listen, there's not a person sitting in this room that don't have somebody to blame. But you are lying to yourself. And you are ripping yourself off if you stay where you are because you refuse to take responsibility for where you are. I'm not here because of what my father did. I'm here because of my Father in heaven. Will you put that picture up for me? Let me show you something. Where's your? How many of you know who that is? That's Roger Federer. Just in case you, that's Roger Federer. One of the greatest, if not the greatest, tennis players ever. Do you know that there was a time in my life where I played tennis? And I was really good. I could have beaten him. Why folks always laugh when I say that? That's so offensive that you laugh like you don't believe me. There's a time I could whoop him. Okay, you really, thank you, my brother. Don't believe me. Put the other picture up there. Okay, I'll really prove it to y'all now. Oh. Do you know there was a time in my life where I was almost a scratch golfer? And I could whoop him. I mean, he laughing hard. If I played Tiger Woods in golf while he's carrying those bags, he doesn't have a chance. Even though he is the greatest, golfer that has ever lived, ever. He changed, listen, they would change entire golf courses to try to stop him. And it didn't make, but if I played him, if you've ever played golf, you understand, there's no way you can play golf while carrying a bag like that. Now, if I play him without the bag, I wouldn't even play him without the bag. That would be crazy. Why would I take that? Why would I go after that kind of embarrassment? But if he's carrying that bag around with him, I'll whoop him. I wonder if that's how the devil looks at you. If there's people in the kingdom, Satan say, listen, if they would put down those bags, the victories that would be theirs. But as long as they're carrying all that stuff, I'll keep defeating them. I ask you again, what are you carrying? What victory should be your? Should be, I didn't say might be. What victory should be yours if you would make a decision? God, I've carried this long enough. I'm putting it down. And I'm leaving it in your hands. Would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. What are you carrying? Listen, I'm not making light of what we've gone through in life. I'm not. I can tell you stories of my upbringing. Now, over the years, who knows, I've probably shared some things with you, but I had an absolute horrific upbringing. Physical abuse that I didn't even realize was. I tell people, my father once beat me with a shovel because I came home late from school because I went to go get a haircut and it took too long. My father was a very poor man. For years, we lived in my grandmother's basement. We were a charity case. She had a basement, not even a basement, it was a converted garage. And when I left Jamaica, came to America, that's where we lived for many, many years. My father would work nights, and he would sleep all day. I could tell you horror stories of beatings and abuse, and for years I carried that. For years, until God dealt with me one day and says, stop it. Stop it, and he put it down. And I guarantee you tonight, so when I go in the prayer room, I start my prayers off with such gratitude because Jesus Christ has been so good to me. But none of that would have been possible had I not decided one day to stop carrying some things. You're here tonight. Before we do anything else tonight, I want to pray with you. You're here. You're not forgiven. You're not forgiven. Listen, forgiveness. Oh, Lord, help me explain this. I've always been fascinated with blood transfusions. People get into accidents or have some kind of a major illness and need a blood transfusion. And the reason is because they don't have enough blood in their body to keep them alive. Some cases, I believe it's leukemia. There's people who have to get bone marrow transplant. Why? Because something is wrong with the blood inside of them. And their only hope of living is they need a blood transfusion. That's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is God saying, listen, the blood that is within you is tainted with sin and you cannot survive. And there's only one blood that has the power to bring life, and that is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was perfect in every way, shape, or form, who died on Calvary's cross so that you can have an eternal blood transfusion, so that his precious blood can give you life. 30 years ago now, almost 30 years ago now, as a soldier in the United States Army, I was wicked and full of evil, and I desperately needed God, broken. And someone told me about the love of Jesus Christ, that God loves broken, hurting people. I asked Jesus to come into my life. Jesus set me free. His precious blood washed all of my sins away. And on that day, I was forgiven. What about you tonight? Would you let me pray for you and pray with you? Just like someone prayed for me, prayed with me. You're here tonight, you say, Pastor, I am not forgiven. I'm not right with the Lord. Would you pray for me? I want you to lift your hand quickly tonight. We're going to pray together. Pastor, I just need the precious love of God. I need to be forgiven. I've come here tonight realizing I need forgiveness for my life. Maybe you're backslidden. At one time you're walking with the Lord. At one time you're serving God. But as you sit here tonight, you be honest, Pastor, I've gone back to things that I know is not right. Would you pray for me? Lift it up, lift it up, lift it up. We'll pray together. Amen, church. I say it again. I'd been saved probably a year. Saved a year when my father fell in the bathtub. He fell at home and hurt himself pretty bad. My sister called me. And as I'm on the phone with my sister and she's telling me, yeah, Daddy fell and he hit his head. It's pretty bad. It's almost like when God opened my eyes and said, Patrick, how long are you going to carry this? I hadn't talked to my father in probably 5-6 years by that time. God said, how long are you going to carry this? And I had to repent. Listen. To be honest, church, I did not even realize that I was carrying all that until my father and God spoke to me. And I say it again. I wonder how much I would have missed. I wonder how different my story would have been had I not decided to let some things go so that I could have the victory that God had already decided was mine. The same is true for you tonight. Would you stand with me? Would you stand? Put that picture back up for me one more time. Put that picture, either one of them. I really want to sink this point in. Listen. When Tiger Woods got on a golf course, victory was already decided. Do you understand that because you are a child of God, victory is already decided? Because of the God that we serve. But there are people who are giving their victory away, who are not experiencing because of the things they're carrying. Would you come find a place to pray tonight? And we're gonna finish here together at the altar. Come tonight. Come tonight. Let God help you. Let God help. We're going to leave some things here together tonight. We're going to leave. Come on, come on. There's lots of room. Come on, there's lots of room. There's lots of room. There's lots of room. There's lots of room. I'm leaving some things at this altar tonight. God, I've been carrying some anger and God, I need to let some things go. I need to forgive. Oh, God, we thank you. Lord, we celebrate your name. Love you, living God. You are so worthy, so mighty, so holy. Wonderful destiny. Father, we love you, Lord God. God, we thank you tonight, precious Lamb of God. God, we thank you. Beautiful King of glory, we love you and thank you tonight. Lord, this precious, wonderful people, God, would you just do a miracle in their lives, God? Father, we're asking you tonight, God, touch and help, God. God, by the grace of God. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, God. God, we love you tonight, Lord. We give you glory and praise, God. God, we love you tonight. I shared this story. I know I've shared it here before. I can't remember, but I shared this story of me going fishing in Virginia. Such a great illustration. So I keep using it over and over again because it really helps folks. I'm fishing in Virginia and the anchor got stuck. We dropped the anchor on the boat. We're in the middle of the ocean. And the anchor got stuck on some rocks. And no matter how hard we pulled, we could not dislodge that anchor. And so here it is, three of us were pastors. I had to preach that night. We are stuck in the middle of the ocean. Stuck in the middle. We were in a place we no longer wanted to be, but we couldn't break free. There's people here tonight. That's where you are. And I feel by the Spirit of God, it's not your whole life, but there's a part of your life. You say, Pastor, I'm stuck right here. I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to live here. I don't want to feel here. I'm tired of this. But it's almost like no matter how hard I try to break free, I just can't. I don't want to be. I'm tired. I've been carrying this long enough. I want to be free. Joseph said, "You meant it for evil, but God." The key is that you and I can't break ourselves free. Let me finish that story just in case you didn't hear it or you forgot. We're pulling on that anchor with everything in us. For hours, we're pulling on, not hours, but for a while, we're pulling on that anchor. Eventually, the owner of the boat, the pastor who owned the boat, he said, "I'm sorry, guys." He said, listen, let go of it. We let go, and we're thinking, what are we going to do? Because it's a chain. You know what he did? He turned the boat on. It's a big old boat. He turned the boat on. This boat had two gigantic Yamaha engines. He turned the boat on, gave it some power, put it in drive, and that chain snapped. I got a revelation that day. Here we are fighting this thing, and we couldn't do anything. And we didn't even realize the entire time there was a much greater power on board that could do in an instant what we couldn't do in an hour. That's true of you tonight. I want you to back up for me a little bit. My whole heart's desire tonight in preaching this sermon, I knew yesterday I was going to preach a sermon tonight. My heart's desire tonight is, God, I want you to help your folks. There's some folks here, you're carrying things. And God say, listen, it's time to lay this down. Time to put it down. And I want to start with that person. You say, Pastor, I've been stuck here long enough. It's almost like I've been just stuck here. And I know it's because I need God to break this thing. And I believe God can break it. If that's you, when you come stand with me, I'm going to pray for a number of things. You see, I've been stuck here long enough. And I know tonight it's because somewhere along the way, I picked up some baggage. I love sharing the story of getting on airplanes. And whenever I get on a, I fly all the time. I'm always on an airplane. I love helping folks. That's my job. My job is to help people spiritually, but sometimes I get to do it physically. And there's always someone on the plane. It's always usually a lady that brings a bag on the plane and she can't put it in the overhead. And I literally look out for folks like that because I, and what she said, listen, first of all, I can't reach it. Second of all, I done put all kind of stuff in this bag. I can't lift it anyway. And I just look around. I'm like, okay, don't worry. I'll do it for you. In fact, not only will I lift it and put it up there for you, but when it's time to get off the plane, I'll help you get it down. And I want to tell you, ma'am, the living God would say to you tonight, it's almost like I see you in the spiritual and you're this thing, you're trying to put it away, but it's just been too big, too heavy. And the Lord would say to you tonight, listen, he's going to lift it for you. He's going to lift it for you. He's going to lift it. He's going to do what you've been trying to do on your own for a while. And it's just been so difficult. God's going to give you, he's going to supply some strength tonight. And I'm telling you, you're going to walk out of this place tonight feeling just a relief at the understanding that God knows, he sees, and that he's going to help. It's going to help. One of the heaviest burdens to carry. Listen to me tonight. One of the heaviest burdens to carry is not the burden that comes from what someone did to you. One of the heaviest burdens to carry is the burden that comes from what you did to yourself. Bad decisions that you made. Are you with me? And one of the things the enemy of our soul loves to do is cause us to live in the apartment called what if. It's a very tiny apartment. It's about as big as this stage. And you can never leave. What if, or if only I didn't go there. If only I had not said that. If only, listen, you can't live. You need to move. You can't live there. Because as long as you are living in if only, he'll rob you of the ability to see what God can do. This will harm your marriage. It'll hurt your marriage. It'll mess up your ministry, your destiny, all that God has for you. Because you can't go back. And there's people here tonight, you say, Pastor, there's two things. Say, Pastor, not only am I carrying things from what people have done, but I'm carrying things because of what I've done. I spoke tonight about people. You know what Joseph could have said? I was innocent. I was innocent. It was my father, my grandfather. I was innocent. That makes the burden that much heavier. I was innocent. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You still got to lay it down and say, God, I've. Oh, the love of God. Love of God. One of the things I love about our Lord, he says, when we come to him, he casts. I love that thought. I mean, think about it. You know, there's guys in baseball now that can throw 105 miles an hour. There's a guy. His name is Mizorowski. I hate him because he plays for the Brewers. I don't hate the guy. I hate the baseball player. He plays for the Brewers, and I'm a Cubs fan. I hate the Brewers. But he's so good. He can throw 102, 103. He had a game yesterday where he struck out 15 guys. They couldn't touch him. He throws the ball at like 100. The Bible says God throws our sin. Can you imagine if a man can throw a ball 105 miles, what do you think God can do? How fast do you, when God's, he says, I cast your sins away. And I'm sure you've heard this before, and I want you to, he said, when God cast away our sins, it is like, from the east to the west. You know, the east and the west never meet. And so when you came to Jesus, he took all that stuff that you came with and he cast it so far, and they're still going away. But there's a reason why the Bible calls the enemy the accuser of the brethren. Sometimes it's not you reminding you, it's the enemy. Because there are some things in this life he doesn't want us to get past. Because he knows if we get past certain things, it would accelerate our walk with the Lord. And that would bother the enemy. When I walked in yesterday and I saw you singing, my heart rejoiced because you've come so far. And it's been such a blessing to watch your salvation. You've come so far. You think the enemy is that? The devil thought for sure that he had you. And then God stepped in, and now God's moving. You think he wants to not only that, you think he wants to allow you to start to accelerate for God? And one of the ways he tries to keep you is that anger. But there's a greater power on board. There's a greater power on board. And he can break in a split second what all our years of struggle could never break. God, move in a mighty way. Father, I thank you tonight, God. God, I'm asking you tonight, divine revelation of Jesus Christ, God, and what you are able to do, God, with a life surrendered. Oh, God, help my brother understand, God, he can do nothing without you, Lord God, but with you, all things are possible, God. All things are possible. Father, we thank you tonight. Grace of God, wonderful living God. Touch them by the Holy Ghost, God. Touch them by the Holy Ghost, God. We love you. We thank you. God, we love you. We thank you tonight. God, we love you. We thank you tonight. You know, to a certain degree, you have to continue to, on the outside, show people how wonderful God is. Externally, you have to continue to just be this person that kind of shows the world God's good and there's joy in the Lord. But I want to tell you, the wonderful thing about God is he sees beyond our external. And he sees those times and those moments where, and I don't want to say it's a mask, because it's not a mask. You really do love God. You really are grateful, and there really is a lot of joy in your heart towards God. But then there's the other you. The you when there's nobody around and you don't have to show the side of you that is trying to lift other people up and encourage people. You can just be, I want you to know God knows that part of you. He knows that part of you. And he's fully aware of all that you go. And I'm being very sensitive. I'm trying not to say too much. God just wants you to know, listen, he knows exactly who you are, exactly where you are. And he has not changed his mind. And I'm going to say this, and I want you to understand, I say this with all sincerity, and I don't say it carelessly, but I say, who cares how long it takes? Just let God do it. Who cares how long it takes? Just let God do it. Because when you let the Lord do it, your heart will rejoice. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost. Father, we thank you. Precious, wonderful people. I want all of you to lift your hands with me tonight. Would you pray with me? Would you pray? Say, Lord Jesus, help me tonight by the blood of Jesus to leave at this altar every burden, every baggage, everything tonight that I may be carrying that hinders my destiny, my future in Christ. Lord, I'm asking you tonight, give me divine revelation of anything in my life that the enemy would use to burden my heart. I choose tonight to completely forgive anyone and everyone who has hurt me, sinned against me, violated my life. I forgive them so that you can forgive me. I let it go so that I can lay down every burden. And I thank you tonight for freedom in Jesus. Would you give God praise? God, we thank you. Lord, we love and worship you tonight. God, we thank you by the blood of... Father, we give you glory and honor tonight. freedom and deliverance. Yes, God, speak to your church and your people. Oh, God, we thank you tonight. Oh, Lord God, would you give God praise tonight? God, we thank you tonight, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for the Holy Ghost visitation of God. Amen. Listen, I believe God's quickening to my soul. There might be times where some of you might have to put this down again. You know what's incredible? We come to the altar, we can feel the presence of God wonderfully here. And he does. We do. We put it down right here, and we leave it here, and we go home. And a few days later, you look in a closet, and you're like, hey, how did you get back in there? Because there's a devil. You left it here, and you went home feeling all great, and you didn't even see he was getting an Uber and trying to bring it back to you. So you know what you do in that case? You bring it back. You throw it down. You say, stay here. You may have to do that more than once. Are you with me? I care more about my freedom and about the wonderful deliverance I have in Jesus than I care about carrying stuff that ain't doing nothing for my life. God's got too many good things for us. Are you with me tonight? Let's give God praise. Pastor Jesus comes. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Oh, God, we lay these things down.
Amen. One quick story. Stay here, Pastor. One quick story. He's going to remember. When he put the pictures, I thought he was going to put the picture of me. Because we played racquetball one day. Stay here, Pastor. We played racquetball one day, and we were playing, and he was over here on this side of the wall, and I hit that ball so hard, bah, that the pastor just stood, and he was just like, ah. And I said, he would beat me if I was carrying a bag. He remembers that moment. He said, I'm never going to play you again. How many know God is good tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. The glory of God. Mr. Nixon, you want to close us in prayer tonight?